Welcome to Ask the Experts, a monthly podcast taking on the latest questions around healthcare legislation and compliance.
Welcome to today's episode of Ask the Experts. With us today is Shelley Bloom, Director of Legislative Awareness and Training. Before we begin today's podcast, I would like to read the following disclaimer. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. Shelley, my first question is the new health insurance marketplace coverage options and your health coverage coverage still necessary?
Yes, it is, Jim. This is a form that came out back in 2012. It's one that you are to give to a new hire within 14 days of their date of hire. And the first page is all instructions, then page 2 and page 3 tell the person who was recently hired whether or not the employer offers group health coverage, and also lets them know that they have the ability to go to the marketplace or exchange, whether it be healthcare.gov or whatever is existing in their particular state. So this is updated every so often. The current one that we have has an expiration date of 6/30 of 2023. This is one that you should continue to use until it is updated again, as I have gotten no information from the Department of Labor saying that it is going to be ended anytime soon. But it's something that should be in your new hire packet because it does need to be given one time only to those employees as they become your new employees.
Now, Shelley, with question number 2, does a qualified life event allow a person to change their health insurance plan?
In some cases, it does. So some of those options do allow a person to switch from one group health plan offering to another, or to choose to enroll in the coverage if they never were before. And some of those would be you're getting married, or you have the birth or adoption of a child. Those might be cases where you never enrolled, or you enrolled in a high deductible plan and now because of your marriage or because of the birth or adoption of a child, you want to choose a different plan option.
An employer decides to sell his business to another company. What happens to those former employees who are now on COBRA?
This is something that gets asked often, and it should be something that is discussed as the current company is selling to the new company who is taking things over, because it could be a concern if there are many people that are on COBRA. But generally, when a new company is purchasing a company that's been in existence for a while and there are some participants or qualified beneficiaries that are on COBRA, they should be able to switch to the new company. That means that they may need to review the new health plan that that new company offers and decide if they do want to continue for the rest of their period of COBRA or if they want to seek coverage somewhere else.
Is it possible to refuse coverage to a person who has a gap of 60 days or more in their health insurance coverage?
No, this is not something that we do anymore. Back in the days pre-Affordable Care Act, there was the provision that you needed to show proof that you had coverage and no more than a 63-day gap, and that's a part of what HIPAA tried to fix because it is the portability option as well as making sure that everything is safe and secure. But under the Affordable Care Act, the pre-existing conditions concern for group health plans and for individual coverage has gone away. So a person can enroll in the group health plan or individual coverage without showing proof of prior coverage.
An employee is expecting to be away from work for 2 to 3 months while on active military duty. What must an employer offer?
That's a good question. This is part of USERRA, U-S-E-R-R-A. And so the employer needs to offer COBRA for up to a 24-month period when the person is away from military service. The USERRA information is on the posters that the employer should put up and also share electronically for those who work from home. It's also included in the FMLA, or Family Medical Leave Act booklet, and it describes what an employer needs to do. Also, the employer must reinstate that employee when they return from military duty. So if they are off for 3 months on their military duty, when they return, they can go right back on the group health plan.
Form 5500 filings will soon be due for groups with a January 1st renewal. Are these filings for large group or for all group sizes?
You are correct that Form 5500 filings are coming up soon. They are due the end of July for a group that had a plan from January 1 through December 31 of 2022. So we typically think of these as being for large groups. And when I talk about large group, I talk about a benefit plan that has at least 100 or more participants on the first day of their ERISA plan year. So here we're talking about large plans that are insured or large plans that are self-funded. We also could be talking about anybody if they're enrolled in a MIWA. But there is one other concern that has been coming up recently that I want to mention, and that is about small plans or small funded plans. Specifically level funding, because you pay something that looks like a premium, but it really is self-funded, but it's kind of a mix of both. It's a hybrid, if you want to call it that. So mostly we look at level funding as on the self-funded side, and you would say, yes, you do have to file the Form 5500, but another requirement is that you have to pay a fee to a third-party administrator and not a premium. So from that perspective, and also from an IRS technical release that came out in 1992, it was the very first one, 92-01, it does say that if you have this particular type of plan that you do not have to file the Form 5500. So to sum all that up, large plans with 100 or more participants in any one of their group health plan offerings or other offerings, life, dental, vision, disability, they would need to be filing the Form 5500. If you are small group and you're level funded and you pay something that looks like a premium, then generally you do not. But I would always encourage those who have questions to go to their TPA or their expert who might do that filing just to make sure.
A former employee is returning to an employer for a position. The person was away from the employer for over 13 weeks. Does the returning employee have to fulfill the waiting period again?
The answer to that is, in most cases, yes. The rule of parity applies here. So if the employee is gone longer than 13 weeks, the employer can rehire that person, and I use rehire in air quotes. Yes, they're coming back to an employer that they had been with before, but because there is more than 13 weeks that transpired, that person would be considered as a new hire, and they would need to go through the waiting period, or in the words of the ACA, the limited non-assessment period, and they don't have any offer of coverage until they have met the waiting period. When I said generally at the beginning, the only time this would be different is if this employee works for an educational type of facility, like a school, and due to the nature of their calendar, they get a 26-week time frame instead of the typical 13-week that most employers get.
Thank you for listening. Please join us next month for another edition of Ask the Experts.